This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The
Starting today, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris are officially Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody as a recurring co-host twice a week.
This has been a part of my life for many years.
Can I just take a quick moment to enjoy and appreciate this? Please, just like a snapshot. Sure. Rahimi and Harris about to get it done, doing their thing, middays on The Score. I could not be more excited for what you two have in store.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man, I'm still loving the Open. I don't know that I'm going to get tired of it anytime soon. And you know what's great about that? When it does get tiring, we can just change the music.
You want to change it already?
No, I'm saying, like, if that happens.
Nah. Let's keep it.
Well, yeah, this is day two.
The only thing that's constant
is
change.
This isn't a Swatch Watch.
Oh, but if it was a Swatch Watch, that would be pretty cool. Do you think the majority of our listeners know what a Swatch Watch is? That's my next question.
I think we tend to skew, based on the numbers, a little younger, but not so young that people wouldn't know what a Swatch Watch
is. Well, the whole thing is the people that are younger, when you say their parents know what a Swatch Watch is, too. So we skew older, too, because those are people actually buying the Swatch Watches for their kids.
But here's where I draw the line. Yes, Robbie Triano?
What's a Swatch Watch?
See, there you go. I don't think we skew as young as you think.
Oh, no. I think he's just that young, and Swatch Watches were a very special moment in time. They took over a culture at the time. A Swatch Watch was a revolutionary product in that you could swatch out the band, if you will. So the bands would switch.
It's like an Apple
so
Watch. You can change the bands.
That's why they called it a Swatch Watch, because it was like switch watch.
In my prior life, I used to sell watches, so I'm used to that.
Well, but you didn't know you were
how you gonna sell watches and
I
not know what a Swatch Watch
is now?
Yes,
this is your area of expertise.
Yes, exactly. The sales were not going great.
Did
so
anybody ever say to you where they're like, "Yes, sir, I am interested in your finest Swatch Watch"?
Yeah, so it's the brand called Shinola, but we did not deal in swatches.
Oh, Shinola's awesome, yeah, though. Detroit. Shinola's, yes. And like they have a cool concept hotel I want to go to.
You still got the hookup?
Oh, I used to. So the funny story is I had to work 90 days to get a free watch and I hated the job. So I worked there 91 and then I quit.
Oh, wow. Honestly, bag secured.
Yeah.
It's a $500 watch.
No one is faulting you on that.
Have you seen their watches? I love their stuff.
Well, this ain't no Shinola, but shout out to Studs. We got the Take the North wristbands here.
Oh, he got them for us.
Okay, I'll be displaying that.
And the Take the North wristband is not your athletic, like, terry cloth wristband. It's a bracelet.
I wanted the play sheet. I just want to be clear. I wanted, like, a whole, like, where I could flip it up, look and see what are we running for our next segment, Layla? Okay, on three. That's what I wanted, but apparently I don't get my way.
One, two, three, Cancun.
Okay, the bracelets have been delivered. I'm putting mine on.
They have the 670 The Score logo, and they just say Bears.
Mine
is on. North.
Orange and blue.
I really like this, actually.
If you're on Twitch, you can see it, but it's orange and blue, Take the North. Yeah, we're displaying it. Shout out to the mob, of course.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Let's tell you who's on our show. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, that's me. This is the new score midday show. Our producers are Ray Diaz, who just gave us the wristbands. Robbie Triano, as you just heard. Brandon Fryer is helping out on audio as well. We have our score video team. You can watch us on Twitch, as we mentioned. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya. And our text line, or our phone call, if you want to call us on the phone, you can, because we're doing that 1045, 312-644-6767. You can also leave a message on our app, on the Odyssey app, and we call it the meatball machine. And the question is today, as we were talking and sussing things out in our pre-show meeting, it's, do you feel the draft eased your concerns about the Bears at all?
At all. I think that's an important part of that question.
Dot, dot, dot.
We're not saying, do you feel like the Bears are about to win the NFC North? We're just asking, you had concerns coming into the offseason, as you always do, especially coming off a 5-12 season. So the question is, did what happened over a three-day period, Thursday through Saturday, ease any of those concerns at all?
I think some. But I can't, just like we talk about how there's an incomplete grade there, you got some offensive line depth. You did not get the elite talent offensive line depth that you wanted, or perhaps another starter on the offensive line. We're going to try to figure out Ozzie Trapillo's role in all of this. The running back, though, when you knew that those were the two main concerns that we heard the most about, whether it was us talking about them, you talking about them, it was offensive line and running back. I don't think the Ashton Jeanty smoke was out there for no reason. So when you consider that they didn't necessarily get the offensive line they wanted, that is no shade on Ozzie Trapillo. It's just how the draft shook out when three tackles go before they get to the 10th overall pick. And then additionally, you wait until the 7th round to draft a running back and Kyle Monongai out of Rutgers. I feel like it eased you some, at least for depth, but you still don't have as many questions answered as you want, especially when you originally had four picks in that top 72.
The four picks in 72, and the words, not mine, but out of the general manager's, Ryan Poles' mouth, and Ben Johnson's, about getting three impact players, year one starters, if you will, and possibly a fourth if things fell the right way. I would argue things probably did fall the right way if you traded and made a trade that brought your fourth pick up into a second rounder. That would be my argument for that. As far as did they ease my mind, the answer for me is not really, because going in, there were four positions of need that I feel like we addressed repeatedly on this show leading up to the draft. Those needs were offensive line, defensive line, tight end, and running back. And you could throw safety in there if you want to. I wasn't as concerned with safety, but I was like, who's going to start at safety in 2026?
Oh, I was concerned about building depth, backing up linebacker or safety. Yes, that was something that I thought they had to address.
And so when you go through that, Layla, and you say, okay, this is what you're talking about getting and strengthening. They did get an offensive lineman. They did get a defensive tackle. They did get a tight end. They did get a running back. But there's no edge rusher in there. And I feel like they're not as dynamic as you would hope they would be. You're not as excited as you hoped you would be. And a lot of that has to do with what positions they picked and when they picked them.
Well, it's that part right there. And knowing that they may not have had the counterpunch that they wanted to have when it came to, all your linebackers are now gone. What do you want to do next? For eject, press 3.
Can we skip? Because it felt like they were doing a lot of skipping
trade
in the draft.
Back, press 4.
That 4 button was jammed.
Trade specifically, pick number 109 because you have an aversion to it. Press 0.
Bigger version of 109 or bigger version to third round?
Yeah, listen. You know how I feel about the Bears in the third round. You outgamed me, Ryan Poles.
Highway you outgamed me. To the danger zone.
When you decide to just get out of the entire third round, I salute you. That's the way to do it. Oh, what's that? I haven't had the best history of third round picks. Ejects third rounds.
I'm kind of okay
safe,
with
baby
getting out of the third round. If you end up with 3 second round picks, I can abide by that, given where the draft was laid out, how it was laid out.
Especially when we heard 5-50 was relatively even when it came to respective talent levels. But here's the problem. they decided to move out of 50 outside of the 39th pick. So they go 56 with Trapillo from Boston College. They go 62 with Shamar Turner from Texas A&M. What's hilarious is, you know how I felt, the Colts end up taking the defensive lineman that I thought originally might be off the board in Stewart. But then Turner's tape is fun to watch, right? Like that gives me something.
It's fun to watch, and he's fun to listen to. I'll give you a double whammy on that.
All right, so when it comes to the need, perhaps, you know, he's not the biggest piece of the discussion here. But whether or not we want to be in this position, we're asking the questions about how we see Ozzie Trapillo already fitting into this team. Think about the importance we place on the third round pick, Karan Amagaji. Think about the importance we place on the fifth round pick, Braxton Jones. We don't know if Braxton Jones is going to be healthy to start this thing. We don't know when he's going to be able to come back yet. We know it's a broken ankle is no unserious thing.
The main thing is understanding who Ozzie Trapillo is might help alleviate some of the, wait, what? That's the first guy that they took? What? He's a right tackle? I think giving some context to not only who he is as a player, but also how he was used could help alleviate some of the angst? Anxiety? What would you call it?
Questions, I think. Just trying to figure out who he is and how he fits in on this.
Why do we always have more questions?
Well, when you have 27 combinations of linemen last year, then you're going to have questions.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying it feels like I have just as many questions after the draft that I did going into the draft as far as offensive line was concerned. That's the issue. And the thing is, they were doing so well. It's perfect because on the text line, I just read this text and I was like, okay, this kind of sums it up maybe where I am. I feel okay about the Bears. This is 6-3 on the text line. I was liking the free agent moves. They said they were focused on building from the lines out. Now I'm feeling less good about the Bears because they just abandoned their strategy. Their stated strategy.
Well, and that's it. I think we're going to get into that a little bit later because Brian Poles gave us kind of a window into how he follows his draft when he talked about being beholden to the board. Are you going to read the original text that we saw when we first started this show from 630?
What was that?
Gage Worker Tateman is a bum! Exclamation point.
Is it so he's mocking Gage by calling him by his not given name, calling Correct. Him out of his name.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, we do have Bill O'Brien that we do want to play, but I figured we would start with Ozzie Trapillo himself.
What's your comfort level on playing right side versus left side? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, no, I would say, you know, if you asked me that during the season, I would obviously say right because that's where I practiced. But as soon as the season ended, you know, going to this level especially, you want to be as versatile as possible. So I've done a ton of work at, you know, all positions except center. So I would just be ready to fill wherever is needed. That's the main goal, right? Get on the field as soon as possible. So that's kind of how I've focused my training these last few months. And, you know, I think I've done a good job with that. So I wouldn't have a preference at the moment.
Have the Bears given you any indication of where they want to play you?
No. Yeah. Kind of similar topic. Nothing in specific. Again, I'm a competitor. I'm going to go out there and compete and just try and get on the field as soon as I can and, you know, help out the team.
All right. So that I like hearing from him. You know, I think it's fair that we hear from him, and that's important in all of this. I do want to hear from Bill O'Brien because he's got the head coaching chops. He's got the NFL head coaching chops. At one point, he thought he was the GM, and perhaps that was not as great for him. But I feel like in the college game at Boston College, he's in a good spot.
Yeah, there are GMs in college that do exist. GM, that's an official position now. But they do something very different. They just
player personnel.
They handle the monies, the NILs and whatnot in terms
they
of...
They should. Yeah. I think you need a separate money man from your football coach.
I think that's
I don't think your football coach needs to be your money man. I feel like that's a little too convoluted.
And in college, the good thing is usually the head football coach is actually on top of the GM in terms of the power rankings, if you will.
Yeah, because they that is clear and defined.
Yeah.
They're like, these are the players I want, the end. Bill O'Brien, to me, is that kind of guy. He also comes from the Bill Belichick tree, you know, when it comes to that style of head coach, if you will. The guy speaks with authority. He's his former head coach at Boston College. So here's what he told Mully and Ruthie this morning on how he sees Ozzie Trapillo fitting in on the line.
Definitely as a swing tackle. He played a little bit of left tackle before I got here. We played him at right tackle. We had a left tackle, young guy named Jude Bowery, who will be coming out next year probably. He was a left-handed guy, a little bit more comfortable on the left side. Ozzie's a great teammate. Ozzie said, I'll play right tackle. But Ozzie has played left tackle, so I don't think there's any doubt that that he'll be able to, you know, do both. I'm not too sure about the Bears depth chart and all that, but I definitely think that Ozzie can play on both sides. He did that in practice a lot, and he did that in games, like I said, before I came to BC.
So, in his own words, Ozzie Tripillo says, I'm more comfortable at right tackle because that's where I've been playing the last 2 years, but I can play left tackle, and he did play left tackle. And then you hear his head coach, Bill O'Brien, talking about the fact that he did play left tackle until Bill O'Brien got there. There was a guy who was more comfortable at left tackle, and because he is a quote-unquote team player, he moved to right tackle. How much
like
are you buying that?
That?
How much are you buying like the sell? Because that's a hard sell from Bill O'Brien on Ozzie Tripillo and why he should be your next swing tackle, starting tackle, backup tackle, whatever tackle for the Chicago Bears.
Could be just defined as Braxton Jones's backup too, depending on what they see out of Karan Amagaji. Like that's the other piece of this, right? And we know Karan Amagaji's book is not closed by any means. I don't even know that the first chapter has been written. I think we're still in the prologue when it comes to, it's like zooming in on Karan Amagaji and he's in Minnesota and everybody's screaming skull and he's trying to protect Caleb Williams and he's like, you may be asking me how I got here.
One of those situations
like one of those,
the tape stops.
Yes.
So
that said, Bill O'Brien, I think he's saying that because that's what he needed out of this individual. I think that's what he needed out of Tripillo. I think when it comes to the NFL mindset that he has as well, and when you know his background, it may not necessarily be coach him up to get him in the league. It's this is what I need out of you to win these games.
Yeah, because college football coaches have deadlines too. Deadlines in which they need to win and everything else. So the ultimate question as far as this is concerned is, did the draft ease your concerns about the Bears' quandary at left tackle?
Right, and I think we should get into running back next because you made a really good argument on our pre-show meeting talking about how we are talking about the individuals that surrounded the Bears over the weekend. I'm talking about running back. We will get into that. We want to hear from you, too. 312-644-6767. You can text us. You can call us. Did the Bears draft ease your concerns about the team at all? This is the new Midday Show. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with you on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the 233rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Kyle Mononga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Hold on. Did she say running back for the Rutgers? And that was the end? Like, not the Scarlet Knights, the Rutgers?
The Rutgers.
Can we hear that one more time?
With the 233rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Kyle Mononga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Go right. Rutgers!
A lot of people who get selected to announce the picks in the draft are like very special individuals who have like a big major moment or there's some sort of significance there. So I'm not picking on anybody, but the Rutgers might need to become a thing.
You're going to start calling it the Rutgers? I wouldn't
do Rutgers.
That.
Like, what school did Isaiah Pacheco go to? The Rutgers.
My best friend's wife went to Rutgers, and I know if I called it the Rutgers, she would literally physically, yeah, it'd be hands. Hands on sight.
Okay, but
she's always trying to fight.
We're here.
She'll hear about it.
What? woman has scared you.
Yeah, she's scary. She's a scary woman. She's a scary. You know what? I might, in fact, send her this clip to just tell her peace.
Like,
I have to see her next week.
Please find this individual.
I'm going to the concert with her. I don't want any problems. I don't want the smoke. I just want peace.
Now that I know who it is, I respect their game.
Yeah.
That's enough for me to know. This is the Midday Show. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. And we continue to ask the question based on our topic of the day, which is, do you feel the draft eased your concerns about the Bears at all, specifically when it comes to need? The way you said it this morning, when it came to how we're talking about the running backs we ended up talking about this past weekend and then when the draft started.
Listen, I came in here on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, even a Thursday of last week. And all the talk was Ashton Jeanty. Is he going to fall to 10? Should they trade up? They should definitely trade up. They should take the best player. Ben Johnson needs weapons, a weapon at running back, which also happens to be a need of the Chicago Bears. And not just that, it's the fact that Ashton Jeanty could be the new Sonic and Knuckles, if you will, paired with DeAndre Swift. A generational running back, whether you want to talk about generational talent or generational production. Either way, generational.
Best running back prospect
in the draft class.
Since Bijan Robinson.
Yes, that's what I was told.
In years.
So let's fast forward to actual draft night. Picks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, the Bears didn't trade up to 6?
The Raiders.
The Raiders took him at 6? Okay, that's cool. Now I don't have to worry about the Bears trading up. If you remember, I said don't trade up for Ashton Jeanty. Whatever you do, you have too many needs. Then they take a tight end. And I was like, okay, day one, that makes sense. I can put this away and say, I get it. The three best tackles went off the board. We're cool. Day two comes though, Layla, and I realize, uh-oh, because they didn't take a running back. And I was like, it's okay.
There was a land run on the running back talent. It was like Oklahoma style.
Layla.
Sooners. The actual running backs, but, you know, the concept of getting there soon.
The difference between day two and day one is, you know, in day one, there's one round. Day two, there's two rounds. And we knew the Bears had multiple second-round picks. The moment they traded back at 41, I was like, okay, their guy must have gotten got that they were targeting, but they could have had him maybe. I don't know what's happening, but you know what? Let's see how this plays out. On day three, Layla, that's when I realized as running back after running back, oh, another trade back. Wait a minute. It's the 7th round and they don't even have a running back.
Wait a minute.
They don't even have a running back. And then I was like,
how did this happen?
Kalman Ungai. Okay. So Kalman Ungai, 233 overall. It's not that they took a running back that can't be a successful NFL running back. Isaiah Pacheco is the direct comparison because, well, they went to the same school. He was drafted in the 7th round, and he was a very valuable contributor in his first year in the NFL. I'm not saying that can't happen, but when you know that you need a running back and you know that there's lots of depth and you've refused to tap into that depth, that's the issue here.
The disconnect.
Yes. Where did it happen? What did I miss?
And for example, when you're hearing the head coach talk about how his magical offense, and it is magical when it works, his magical offense is predicated on the run. You're saying to yourself, this is a mission statement. Like, this is something you're telling us for a reason. We know what happened with DeAndre Swift at his previous stop. He was also the Bears' second choice at free agent running back to Saquon. That's an easy thing to say in retrospect, but the point is the Bears paid for his services. So, you know, you've got a multi-year commitment to DeAndre Swift. We all know he wasn't utilized properly last season. We know that. When it comes to, you know, 17 games played, he had 253 carries and 959 yards. It's good, but was it enough when you saw it for yourself?
No.
No.
It did not pass like the eye test.
The eye test, unfortunately, is not indicative of what you saw in the stats. So the reason I bring that piece of it up is, you know, when Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina goes 22 to a running-focused coach in Harbaugh and LA and the Chargers, you know what's happening there. So that was one focus that you had. You were at number 10 with Colston Loveland, the Bears. So one of the secondary backs who was probably on your board is already gone. Then additionally, Travion Henderson goes at pick number 38 right ahead of you.
I think that was the one. I think that was the one that sent everything into a tailspin.
Right. And you've got to have a counterpunch. Obviously, if we're thinking about this, the Bears are thinking about it. I think that's why it's important to fold in what Ryan Poles had to say about how he operates when it comes to perhaps that exact situation. You can at least understand where it might have applied. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I've always felt that. I mean, every draft has like this pockets that you just don't fall into. And again, if you're going to be disciplined and you're going to let the board kind of dictate how you do things, it just happens that way. So, because of that, you end up in some really cool situations and really acquiring talented players. It might come from a different position that maybe you would have liked to. But at the end of the day, you're increasing the talent on your football team. And I do think you can get into a lot of trouble if you start trying to manipulate things to get into certain pockets where you end up hurting your team long term.
Except what do you think you did when you decided to trade down? Because of how your board fell, you end up taking a guy who was picked by many to be in the first round, Luther Burden. We will talk about that a little bit more. I mean, that is an understandably, the board says this, we're going to take him because he's the best player available pick. But then it's not until the seventh round that we're talking about a running back. This is the most discussion of a seventh round pick that I've had in a long time when it comes to the Bears draft. Like, even for what we talk about with Roschon Johnson, he's a fourth round pick overall. So we go from talking about Ashton Jeanty to a seventh rounder. You can't help where you drafted, but that's a pretty precipitous fall if a team truly wanted a running back that they think is going to help this offense be fully realized.
There's a chance that they thought this running back draft class was so deep that it was 20 plus. I don't like those chances. I don't want to sign up for that narrative. So really, the pocket passed them by. And you know, you can put a hot pocket in the microwave. I prefer putting it in the toaster oven because I'm a professional. But if you let that thing sit in the oven, microwave or toaster, too long, now it's cold again. It's no longer hot. What are we doing? Don't let the pocket miss you. Get back into the pocket. That's all I'm asking. Like, I saw a lot of trading back. Maybe there should have been a trade up. I just, if this guy's not on the roster at the start of the season, that means one of two things have happened. He wasn't good enough, or they went out and got a free agent running back, which is also a possibility. But as far as, did the Bears ease your mind at running back? It is a succinct no.
Right. And listen, they don't have the same kind of open room under the cap to maybe sign one of the free agent backs that we talked about. Yes, Nick Chubb has been discussed. How much so? Well, there's a little audio that we have coming up at 11 that will speak to that, because this is not something that has just been speculated on by us. Trying to figure out where he's going to go in Cleveland has also been a big discussion. So I think that that's important to bring up here. Either way, it's a wonderful success if you're talking about a seventh round pick being a crucial part of the team. Kyle Monongo was the 20th rated running back by The Beast, if you're into that sort of thing. We know that this was an incredibly strong running back class, as we've mentioned before. I think David Montgomery's part of what makes him so good in the Ben Johnson offense is his pass blocking skills. How much does that factor in for this particular individual? And frankly, does it say more about what Ryan Poles thought in who he had in the running back room already who might be healthy? Roschon Johnson's health, for example. Ian Wheeler's health, for example. Is that enough to get you what you need? All I know is when you tell me a lot about the run and how that run game is not only going to help Caleb Williams in his first season under this offense, but also help make the offense functional, you're placing a lot of importance on each individual back who is in that room.
So your answer is also no then.
I can't say that you did what you set out to do. You know, whether it was fully address the lines in a higher round or a higher pick, and I understand the importance of tight end here. So Colson Loveland, that's a top 10 pick. You know, you're picking somebody good at that level. You just are. The odds are in your favor that that's happening. But either way, this is a lot of importance that we're placing on a guy who didn't choose where he got drafted.
Also, the answer is still no when we talk about edge, defensive tackle. Okay, cool. I understand that you believe in interior pressure, maybe more than other teams do as far as getting an edge rusher, but somebody's got to get to the quarterback at the end of the day. Dio Dingbo, maybe he's your answer, but last time I checked, teams winning Super Bowls, they have waves of guys coming from all angles.
A direct quote from what we heard Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles talk about was that very concept of waves of a pass rush. Especially when you know a guy like Montez Sweat isn't on the field every snap. That's just never been who he was.
All I saw in the draft is them wave bye to the edge position because they didn't draft one. That's all I saw. Mm. That's the only wave I saw.
I like 815's comment, become the pocket. That's one way to do it. That's one way to address it. 773 says Poles drop the ball on running backs. 847 says, I saw a third round grade on Kyle Monongo. And that's fair. Like I said, just out of the running backs themselves rated one against another, I saw 20th overall. So you can have your steals. You know, Austin Booker was considered a steal. We'll see how that plays out as well from last year. But once again, we're just asking more questions than we necessarily wanted to ask following now the fourth Bears draft under Ryan Poles. We want to ask you questions, though, too. We've opened up the phone lines, 312-644-6767. We want to hear from you, hear what you think. Are you still concerned about the team after the draft, or do you feel like maybe some of your questions were actually answered? We want to know why. Call our meatball machine as well. We want to give you some of our draft thoughts. The Odyssey app, leave a voice message. You've got the Midday Show. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi on The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, all these guys are capable of really producing with the ball in the hand, and it also puts a lot of stress on the defense where, you know, we're looking at good looks, and that plays right into Ben's hands in terms of how he wants to attack each week.
You know, that's Ryan Poles as we talk about our topic of the day. Did the draft ease your concerns about the Bears? Hit us up, 312-644-6767. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score, and we start with Jim in Crystal Lake. Jim, you're on the Midday Show.
Hey, Marshall and Layla, how are you? A North Texas State alumni.
Oh, wow.
Oh, mean dang. Green. And he with the original, the North Texas State, not North Texas.
I like it.
Go Mean Green.
Yeah, I'm a lot older than you, so I broke the school when I was there. They had to change the name. So
that was, what, 1990, I think?
Yeah, 87 I left, so that's when they had to make changes. But, hey, no, easing my stress or thoughts about it, I thought it was a good draft, as most of the experts said that too. But you can't be like the Chiefs and the Eagles yet and draft best available player when you have – you drafted a third receiver, you drafted maybe a second tight end, maybe a first if they trade Komet, but they were drafting like they are going for it this year, and I still think it's a two-year process. The other problem I had was the fourth-round pick, who was rated a sixth- or seventh-round pick, that Hippolyte. Could have got that better running back, and I know the seventh-round pick was rated a little higher too, but, you know, if they got a – I don't even know if the guy from the Chargers is available, still the running back, J.K.
Dobbins.
Yeah, Dobbins has been discussed, yes.
And Chubb might, coming off injury, is tough, but I'd be happier with one of those guys sharing the load with Swift. But, yeah, I mean, I have faith in these guys that you're going to give Ben time. You can tell they were Ben picks and not Poles picks, and the danger is they don't perform this year, and Poles might not be around for another draft. So, but that's just my thoughts.
No, I appreciate it. Go Mean Green, Jim. Rare that you get two North Texas alums in the same city that isn't in Texas. That's pretty cool. So thanks for calling. I still think it's a Ryan Poles draft.
Yeah, no, it's a Ryan Poles draft where he's trying to deliver something to Ben Johnson. I think you see that on the back end. Well, sorry, you see that on the front end, the fact that he's giving two big offensive picks off the top, and then he tries to fill in the gaps going down, and things just did not seemingly work out at running back. Although, you know, Kamenanga, I mean, we're going off the Beast. He's the 20th ranked running back in the Beast, and they had him in a fourth to fifth round grade, which is obviously, that's a value pick in the seventh round. But all that talk about running back in the running game, as you said.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know if it was a smoke screen or what. But yeah, for example, Ruben Hippolyte was graded a free agent by the Beast. And the Bears drafted him, you know, pick number 132 overall in the fourth round. Fourth round and graded a free agent by the Beast. If that gives you any indication. That doesn't take his speed away, but that speed, I guarantee you, that 40 time was how he ended up being on people's draft boards way too high.
Jetpacks on his feet, right? That was the one quote.
You better hope with that grade. We stay on the calls. Did the draft ease your concerns about the Bears at all? 312-644-6767 on the Midday Show. Let's go to Anthony in Washington, D.C.
Hey, what's going on, Layla? What's going on, Marshall?
What's up?
Finally talking to you. So you asked, does it ease, right?
Right.
Yes, it does ease. You didn't ask, does it completely eliminate the concern?
Okay.
So does it ease?
So how much does it ease?
So it eases it very much so. Because last year's coaching staff might have put Swift at tight end for all we know. Right? We got a competent coaching staff this year. Right? So I believe that I think it concerns me a little bit that you two are very knowledgeable, and I think that this year's coaching staff has nothing to do with last year's coaching staff, and I think that we'll be put in a very good position. I think we're underestimating everybody that we've hired, everybody, all the additions, everything like that. So it does ease my concerns a bit. I think there is more work to be done, but as far as in the direction of ease and being better, yeah, we're on the way.
Okay, that's fair. Somewhat eased, but yeah, not by any means are you completely calm or happy.
Unhappy, but yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Not unhappy.
You're there.
Okay, he's you know what it is? He's the perfect, you know, voice to tease ahead to 12:25, right? What he said, because he's like the coaching staff and how he has trust in them. I'm not knocking Ben Johnson. I don't know what he's like as a head coach. I do have a track record with Ryan Poles, and so that's where my comes in.
Well, that's also why I say, okay, I understand you wanted to have discipline and stick to your board. I have questions about your board. You know, it's like when you talk about colleges that recruit players and they're like, well, I don't understand why X university has this guy. They didn't get any player they want. Yes, that was the player they wanted.
And that's a problem.
Right. That's where the concern is. I think we have time for one more. Tony and Joliet. Tony and Joliet, you're on with Raheemi and Harris.
Hey, Leila, how you doing? So happy to hear you every day. I just love you on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Now we get you every day. What a gift.
Thank you.
Yeah, my thing is a little bit of ease. I mean, I think Loveland, we finally get that guy that's going to give us those mid-range passes downfield that we have not been doing, those 25, 30-yarders. I love that. But I'm more on the east side, and I think if I can just get this one point in, guys, we've all seen that, like, prodigy pedigree. They get that first new gig, and they're so excited. They want to get into it. They want to roll. And they're thinking about, all right, I'm going to do what I did where I was before. And we've seen it. We've all had those bosses. We've all had those jobs. And the mistake they make is they forget what got them there, you know? And Ben Johnson is a prodigy. He's going to be great. But they're kind of selling their soul on not investing what got him in Detroit was he had Laporte, he had those guys, but he had a foundation of linemen that could protect him. I don't care how many times you can throw the ball downfield. If Caleb doesn't have time and we're not getting to that quarterback, it'll be the biggest mistake of Johnson's tenure starting off. Don't make the mistake of forgetting what the foundation has to be. And get out of your head thinking, I got this, we're going to roll. Because you've never had it before, Ben. Yeah. I understand the foundation. You know, guys, so I won't take any more of your time. I love you guys. Have a great day.
Tony, you can take up our time. We actually wanted you to take up our time. And
thanks,
we appreciate
Tony.
The call. I feel like he nails a lot of what we talked about. You talk a big game about what it means to control your line of scrimmage with an offense like this, or frankly have waves of pass rush where your leading sacker on the team had 5.5. You know, that's not acceptable.
If anything, I think what this draft told us, what it telegraphs to us, is that they are very comfortable with the offensive line they have right now. They are comfortable.
Yeah, the team is on the field, so to speak.
Yeah, the team that is going out there. We don't know who's going to run out there at left tackle the next time they line up for OTAs, minicamp, whatever. But they are okay with the five that will be out there.
Man. Yeah, I get it. You have to plant your flag with some of the talent that you've acquired over these past years.
Yeah.
It would be a mistake to throw the book out on a guy like Karan Amagaji, for example. But the better question is, how much responsibility are therefore you going to give to him? As the record scratches and he says, you may wonder why I found myself in this situation.
I think the answer to that question is they don't know yet, but they're about to find out when they get on the field and start doing stuff.
The goal is that this draft class helps you find out more about your team and the talent you have. Yes, absolutely. Anytime you add players, they're going to tell you a little bit more about who you have. But was it enough? I think that's what we're trying to examine. We are rolling on the Midday Show on the Score. Rahimi and Harris with you on 670 The Score. Coming up next, we get into a little bit more about the running back discussion. Who is possibly out there? The Bears, as we know, did not get a running back in the first through six rounds of the draft. Could there be a possibility of a free agent acquisition? A big name is being discussed. We will bring you the latest on The Score.